WZON. Red Sox lost again this afternoon, as you heard right here. 8-6 the final. They get ready for a series with the Rays this weekend. NBA draft tonight. What will the Celtics do? 4 picks in the draft, but lots of rumors that they'll make some kind of a deal between now and mid-draft. We'll find out as the evening rolls along here. Let's kick off the show by talking some Red Sox. We're joined on the Tiller and Ryan telephone line by Dave D'Onofrio, who covers the Red Sox and the Patriots for the Union Leader. Dave, good afternoon.
Rich, good to be with you.
Hey, I love your optimism. You put it all together nicely for us. Sure, the Red Sox lost. Sure, they're 10 under 500. Yes, they're 7 games out of fourth place, but all they need to do is go 58-30 the rest of the way to get to 90 wins.
Yeah, sounds pretty easy, huh?
Sure.
Except that they haven't done it since 1950 as an organization. And if you look back over the last decade, only 5 major league teams have done it. 3 of them were the Yankees. It was also the 2013 Dodgers and 2012 A's. Nobody did it last year. So that's the pace the Rays are playing at right now. And that's generally speaking, I think, where you need to get to if you want to be in the conversation playoff-wise. And the Red Sox need to do something they haven't done in 65 years just to get in that conversation.
Well, there you go. But look, every kid's got a dream here. They'll have to do it with a bit of a different roster than anybody could have imagined. Petey placed on the disabled list today. Jackie Bradley's back to try yet again to prove he can hit at the major league level. Who knows with Hanley Ramirez. This team is as bad as the Bobby Valentine year was. I don't know that there's ever been more disarray with this team.
I think you're right. And if you, at least in that Bobby Valentine year, you came in with a new manager, a new GM, lower expectations in the sense of what you had seen crumble that previous September. You know, maybe people were a little bit backed off at that point. This year, you didn't think they were going to be a great team, maybe, but you saw what they did in the offseason. They were aggressive. They signed 2 guys that were billed as the best 2 hitters on the free agent market. And yet the offense struggled for 2 months. The offense now has found it. But what we're realizing now, and maybe we should have realized this all along, and some people did, but when you get in a hole like that, you essentially need your starting pitching to be good enough every night if you're going to go on a run. And they simply don't have the pitching to think that they're going to be able to sustain something in the realm of 58-30, which is, you know, almost a .667 winning percentage.
Now, Buckholz has been relatively consistent. I think his last 10 starts, an ERA of 2.28. Wade Miley has been pretty good other than that one little blow-up. But, my goodness, Joe Kelly, just awful. He's been sent down. And Justin Masterson steps in his place. There was some thought that he might end up in the bullpen. Why Masterson and why not Brian Johnson?
I think potentially it could be a one-turn type of thing. Johnson pitched the night after Kelly and went, I believe, 6 innings in Pawtucket. So because he went the night after, it doesn't really line him up to make Kelly's next start. Masterson is below average, though. I would expect them to reevaluate here maybe the next time or, you know, at the very least after the All-Star break when you really have a chance to reset things. I think Masterson might be on a 1 or 2 start audition here. They don't really want to say that, but if you just kind of look at the way things are lined up, you know, that's definitely a possibility.
Now, Eduardo Rodriguez, who had been a good save for one rough start, looked all world for 3 innings today, and then second time through the lineup, it was batting practice time for the Orioles. Is this just a normal growth for a young pitcher?
Yes, but you know, I will say this happened to him against the Blue Jays a couple starts ago, too, where the first time through he was okay. The second time through, well, today, his first time through, he was great. But against the Blue Jays, he was just okay the first time. And then he got hammered the second time around. Same thing today. In both situations, it was in a game where the Red Sox lost, got in a hole early, and got put away by a division opponent. They're just so bad against the division this year. It's you know, discouraging in that sense, where we thought it was a mediocre division. We thought it was, you know, not going to be a team that runs away. We thought there may be 5 teams that finished somewhere between 80 and 85 wins. The Red Sox can't even win a third of the games they play against those supposed mediocre teams. So that might tell you everything you need to know.
We're talking with Dave D'Onofrio of the Union Leader here on Downtown. Red Sox lost again today by a score of 8-6. More opportunities this weekend against a division rival, but it's hard to be hopeful even against a Rays team that doesn't have a great deal of offense but some pretty good pitching.
Exactly. You know, where the Red Sox are at right now, they might be the type of team that you feel like you have a chance against just because you know that the Rays aren't going to give up many runs, but they might not score a lot either. And if the Red Sox can figure out a way to get three, they have a much better chance of beating the Rays than they do, say, the Blue Jays, who are coming up after the Rays, or the Orioles, who just took two out of three and have now won, I believe it's 9 out of 12 from you on the season. The Red Sox at this point are such a mess as far as their pitching staff goes. Your only hope really is to, you know, run up against a team that helps you out, and the Rays don't have a lot of great hitting.
So what can they do going forward here, Dave? And let's forget competing for a playoff spot, but they've clearly got some decisions to make. A guy like Napoli, can they even get anything for him at the trade deadline?
Not the way he's going right now. I know he had a couple hits today, sort of a gift double there early. I think teams will see the writing on the wall with him and realize he's a guy at the end of his contract. If the Red Sox don't trade him by July 31st, there's at least a chance by September 1st that he's either put on waivers or released or, you know, made available in some other way where the Red Sox really aren't going to get anything for him. So I don't expect anyone to pony up much before the deadline. And beyond that, they've just painted themselves in such a tight picture roster-wise. They don't have a lot of flexibility. They have guys with big contracts like Sandoval and Ramirez, young guys like Betts and Swihart and Bogaerts who they don't want to move. You just look throughout the field, and there's not a lot of things they can change or things they can do. And, you know, compounding that are the contract extensions they gave to Porcello and Miley. It's really hard, barring a L.A. Dodgers style, we'll take some bad contracts off your hands because we want Adrian Gonzalez. Barring a trade like that where you might have to give up a really good young player, I have a hard time seeing how they get out of this without, you know, some help or some help from some crazy team elsewhere.
Well, and you have to believe somewhere in his office late at night, Ben Cherington's saying to himself, this Hanley Ramirez thing, maybe this was a bad idea. Sandoval's been hitting okay of late. I think he'll be fine, but Ramirez, along with showing little interest in playing defense, just continues to be a guy who gets dinged up constantly.
Yeah, Sandoval, the offensive player, I think should be pretty much what Red Sox fans expected. I think Ramirez, if he was hitting more, if he was delivering more power, we could overlook some of these other things. This habit where he misses a game here and there or needs to come out, it's happening a little too frequently for my taste. But, again, if he was the 15 home run hitter we saw early in the season, or I guess he was on pace for 40 home run season, if he was that guy and the team was winning, I'm with Cherington when he says people would be overlooking some of the other stuff and taking some scrutiny out of him. That said, he doesn't seem like the most popular guy in the clubhouse. We've seen that reported elsewhere. You have him for three more years at close to $70 million. That's becoming a problem quickly.
Dave, before we let you go, quickly on the Patriots, Tom Brady had his appeal hearing this week. We know it's likely to be a while before the Pats hear anything. What's the most common speculation you're hearing? Do you think there'll be a reduction in the suspension? Do you think this ends up in a federal court at some point?
I think the penalty was set up all along so that it could be reduced but not entirely eliminated. And so to me it makes sense that it goes down to two games for cooperation. I have a real hard time personally wondering how you can penalize a guy based on science that's now been debunked and inferences on text messages that you don't have the complete picture of. To me it makes no sense. If you have that type of information or evidence, why you should be penalized at all. But I think Roger Goodell has sort of led this charge, or I don't know if he's leading this charge or being led by the guys under him who want to see the Patriots get stuck with it. I think it may go to court, but what my understanding is that if it goes to court, it would be on the basis of challenging the authority of Goodell, and the authority of Goodell is authorized by the CBA. If it went to court based on the facts and a trial of the facts, I think Brady would be fine. But since it's a procedure and the union agreed to the procedure, I don't have much hope of that route. So I wonder if Brady would even bother going down it.
Dave D'Onofrio covers the Red Sox and the Patriots for the Union Leader. Dave, thanks as always for being with us. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Rich.
Dave D'Onofrio on Downtown or Boston Insiders are brought to you by Cross Insurance, where security meets strength, online at crossagency.com. Still to come this hour of the show, we've got Adam Hatch talking about a big comedy show coming up soon. Jabron Graham with our Downtown Weekend. And after the break, young actor Colin Ford. He plays Joe McAllister on the CBS television series Under the Dome, which has its season 3 premiere tonight at 9 o'clock on the CBS network and locally on WABI TV Channel 5. First, to check on the weather, News Center's Steve McKay's got the forecast, brought to you by Van Sickle Kia, where summer is on them.
Stars, they will be a twinkling this evening, thanks to a clear sky. Nighttime lows, 40s to mid-50s, with a light wind. Tomorrow, sunshine becoming partly sunny, 60s, lower to mid-70s. Should be cooler along the ocean's edge. On Saturday, becoming partly sunny, upper 60s, low 70s. Looking kind of soggy on Sunday, periods of rain, clouds, look for daytime highs in the 60s. And then on Monday, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, 60s near 70 for the high. For Downtown with Rich Kimball, I'm WLBZ News Center 2 meteorologist Steve McKay.
Kia's Summer on Us sale is heating up at Van Sickle Kia. Peter Van Sickle, tell us more.
We've got hot savings, up to $4,000 off MSRP, plus 0% financing, and we'll even make your first three payments when you buy any new 2015 Kia Optima, Forte, or Sedona minivan.
Wow, that's a lot of savings, and you won't have any car payments for 3 months?
You got it. Save up to $4,000 off MSRP, and you'll save even more with 0% financing for 66 months. Then just sit back and enjoy your payment-free summer.
Every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. The best in the business. $4,000 savings. Example, 2015 Kia Optima stock number OP556. Must finance through Kia Motor Finance and qualify for all factory rebates. Not all customers will qualify. Ends July 6th. See dealer for details.
At Van Sickle Kia in Bangor, this summer's payments are on us. More car, more value, less money. I'm Peter Van Sickle. I guarantee.